Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a dense fog advisory in effect this morning. Coming up, I'll show you how low the visibility is where you are.
Plus, switching sides, a huge shift in power at the General Assembly, where you're looking live right now on the right side of your screen. How one Democrat's decision to become a Republican could affect big issues, including abortion, across our state.
And a big step forward for thousands of Marines and their families exposed to toxic water at Camp Lejeune. They're getting their first day in court after decades of fighting back. A lot of news to get to on your Wednesday morning. Thanks for making us your choice for news. I'm Michelle McConaughey in for NHU.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It is great to have you along here. A lot happening on this Wednesday, including some new information within the last hour. Peter Sherwood in the WRAL Severe Weather Center is dense fog advisory now.
This goes until 10 o'clock this morning. It's outlined for all the areas across the south and east of our viewing area, including Holt County all the way towards the north, including Nash County. We are seeing visibility down to a quarter of a mile in some spots and some lower level clouds this morning. Taking a live look at Goldsboro, and this camera looking a little foggy right now. Visibility down to a quarter of a mile there. We're seeing visibility less than a quarter of a mile in Fayetteville, and it's not too bad in the Triangle. I don't anticipate the fog to slow down the morning commute in Raleigh and Durham for this morning. It's 65 degrees in the Triangle, 60 degrees in Fayetteville, and 59 in Southern Pines. It is a very warm start to the day, and this afternoon we'll be dealing with near record highs, getting to 82 degrees by 12 o'clock, 89 for the afternoon high. We are watching very closely this front that is moving across the Midwest, bringing severe storms and tornado-warned storms there. Eventually, it will move into our region tomorrow and bring a level one risk for severe weather to the north and west. Coming up, I'm going to break down the timeline we can see showers and thunderstorms. Brian?
601 right now, and we're just getting reports of a crash on 40 westbound right around Gorman Street, reportedly a crash with injuries. As we take a look at that camera, not seeing anything on the interstate itself. This may be at the bottom of the ramp from 40 westbound onto Gorman Street. We'll find out some more about that, have another update for you in just a few minutes. Here's a look at our traffic map with the fog overlay there, and you can see it's really along and south of that I-95 corridor where we're seeing the biggest problems with fog this morning, including in Dunn, as we take a look at that camera at 95 right around Long Branch Road. Another update coming up in about 10 minutes.
Brian, thanks. Today, we will find out the reason for a party switch that'll shape big issues, including abortion and education in North Carolina. State Representative Tricia Cawthon will speak for the first time since announcing she is changing her affiliation from Democrat to Republican. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us live from the state GOP headquarters in Raleigh with something that is bound to have some great fallout to it. Laura.
Jeff, that is correct. Now, we are going to be looking to answer the biggest question this morning, why Cawthon's move is the biggest political bombshell in the General Assembly in recent years. It was just about 5 months ago when she won her election to a deep blue Charlotte area seat as a Democrat. So what this means with this switch up is that Republican lawmakers will have the power to override any vetoes from Governor Cooper without any Democratic support. If Cawthon votes with them, the GOP could also pass controversial proposals without opposition, including one of this session's biggest question marks, new abortion restrictions.
I think within the Republican conference, you have a wide range of interest and ideas about that particular piece of legislation. Representative Cawthon does not seem to be one that will go all the way towards a complete ban, maybe a little bit more than just the 20 weeks. But I think that that is still an ongoing conversation within the Republican conference.
And Governor Cooper is calling this move disappointing. The Democratic Party also saying it is a betrayal. Now, at 9 o'clock this morning, we're going to have live coverage on Fox 50 of this press conference and announcement. The Democratic Party is also responding today at noon. Laura Levine, WRAL News. We're live in Raleigh.
former President Donald Trump is back at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida this morning after pleading not guilty to 34 felony counts. The 16-page indictment that was unsealed yesterday accuses him of falsifying business records related to several hush money payments that were made back in 2016. Trump addressed hundreds of his supporters last night when he returned to Mar-a-Lago. He claimed the only crime he has ever committed has been fearlessly defending the United States.
Incredibly, we are now a failing nation. We are a nation in decline. And now these radical left lunatics want to interfere with our elections by using law enforcement. We can't let that happen.
Prosecutors say Trump was linked to payments to two women and a doorman during the 2016 campaign as part of a plan to suppress negative information that could have undermined his campaign.
We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct. The defendant repeatedly made false statements on New York business records.
The next in-person hearing in this case is set for December 4th. Prosecutors want the case to reach trial by January. Trump's lawyers want that pushed back. And this morning on Today, Trump's attorney Joe Tacopina will speak out in a live interview. Today airs right after this newscast at 7 o'clock on WREL.
We'll learn more today about how state health officials will test for lead and asbestos in schools, public schools, and child care centers. The State Department of Health and Human Services will present its plan to the State Board of Education today. The Clean Classrooms for Carolina Kids program aims to restrict exposure to toxic lead in drinking fountains, lead-based paint, and asbestos in more than 3,000 public schools and 5,700 child care facilities. It's an expansion of a program that started in 2019 to test for lead in water in child care centers.
People are glad that the testing is finally going to get underway soon. And then, you know, but then there's the added complication of what will we do when some of it is found? Some of that money will go toward fixing issues that are found, but there is concern perhaps that even more money will be needed.
Yeah, the program will use about $150 million in funding that came from federal COVID-19 stimulus money.
You've probably seen the lawsuit ads on TV before, and today Marines and their families affected by toxic water at Camp Lejeune will get their first day in court. This is all part of a decades-long effort to hold the government accountable. WREL's Naya Harden is live in downtown Raleigh, where today's hearing will take place. Naya?
Well, Michelle, lawyers that are representing these families tell WREL that this is just really today going to be about figuring out the structure of these lawsuits, how they're going to organize them moving forward. But they say that those affected will be able to speak soon. As of this morning, about 25,000 claims have been filed with the Department of the Navy and 300 with the Eastern District of North Carolina. This is a story we followed for years. The CDC believes a dry cleaning firm's waste disposal contaminated the water at Camp Lejeune, leaving anyone living in the area exposed between 1953 and 1987. That includes USMC Master Sergeant Jerry Ensinger, who lost his daughter to leukemia. He will be in court for today's hearing. Lawyers involved in the case say the government has already admitted to some fault.
So it's really just about finding out what sort of money damages our government can pay these men and women that sacrificed everything to put them in a better position than they currently are. And so I hope the judge understands the time sensitivity of this.
And Congress had passed a law last year allowing for these lawsuits to move forward. The court hearing is going to be this afternoon at 3:30. We'll keep you updated on what happens. Naya Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, new pictures just into our newsroom of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visiting Poland. There you see him being welcomed with full military honors, courtesy of Poland's President Andrzej Duda. Now, this state visit is Zelensky's gesture of thanks to Poland for its continued support and protection since Russia invaded Ukraine. Now, unlike previous visits, Zelensky is actually traveling with his wife. Here you see them standing with President Duda and Poland's First Lady at the Presidential Palace in Warsaw. Now, this visit comes as the U.S. is pledging a brand new aid package to Ukraine.
I-440 at Jones Franklin Road is back open again this morning after a motorcycle crash overnight caused that scene. State Highway Patrol says the motorcyclist was possibly on narcotics and lost control and crashed. Troopers tell us that person is okay, and it's not clear if the motorcyclist will face any charges.
You now have more time to weigh in on a rezoning plan for Shaw University that could bring high-rise towers as tall as 20 stories to its campus in downtown Raleigh. City Council voted late last night to extend the public hearing on the plan until May 2nd. Hundreds of people came out to share concerns about the project at that meeting. More than 150 ended up speaking against the planned Shaw U district. Many were alumni of the school who say this would destroy Shaw's rich history. But school leaders say it's a necessary step to modernize the campus.
This rezoning plan is the first step in that initiative to leverage our one great asset, and that is the real estate that Shaw has.
Campus plan would be simple. It's not that we don't want better. We just want a plan to be shown to us.
Now, if the project is approved, Shaw would spend a year working on a master plan first.
A push to save the lives of people ODing on drugs. How new legislation could help make people feel more comfortable calling 911. Plus,
we didn't know if the shooter was still left or the right. It was, smoke was everywhere.
The police officers who took down a shooter in a Tennessee elementary school tell their story, their description of the actions they took to put an end to that attack.
Morning dense fog will give way to near record warmth today. We're heading to 89 degrees, and then we're going to turn unsettled leading into the end of the week. Coming up, I'm going to show you the storm system that will bring the potential for showers and thunderstorms, and some could be severe on Thursday.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
We have a dense fog advisory in effect this morning until 10 a.m. Areas outlined in gray under the dense fog advisory. Hope County, Cumberland County, Sampson County, Wilson County, all those counties this morning along the I-95 corridor will need to take it easy. We're seeing some reduced visibility this morning in Clinton, and visibility there down to a quarter of a mile. We're seeing a quarter of a mile visibility in Fayetteville, and it's looking good in the Triangle. It's 65 degrees out the door in the Triangle, and come this afternoon, we're talking about near record warmth, getting to 89 degrees for the high temperature. That record high of 90 degrees will be dry today, but storms possible tomorrow. I'll time that out.
Pete, 614 right now as we take a look at traffic. That live camera in South Raleigh at I-40 near Gorman Street. A report of a crash on 40 westbound around Gorman Street. You see that traffic through that area looks fine. I think this crash may be at the bottom of the ramp from 40 westbound onto Gorman Street. All of the sensors indicate the traffic's flowing pretty well through that area right now. We'll keep our eyes on it, though. Also in South Raleigh, watch for a crash on Garner Road near I-40.
Brian, thanks. We are hearing from the police officers who stopped the shooter at a Tennessee elementary school last month. Former student Audrey Hale is accused of walking into the Covenant School and opening fire on students and staff. Six people were killed. And this morning, we are hearing from one of the officers who shot and killed Hale. Detective Mike Colazzo describes the scene walking into the school that day.
We didn't know if the shooter was still left or the right. It was, smoke was everywhere. The fire alarm was going off. It was somewhere right around that point we heard another shot, and it told us that the shooter was to our right.
Investigators found a suicide note when they searched Hale's home, along with more weapons and ammunition.
Mark Meadows and other former advisors of Donald Trump may be brought before a federal grand jury in the coming days. A federal appeals court denied Trump's bid to stop his former aides from testifying in the special counsel's January 6th probe. Trump claimed that he had legal protections that would block certain testimony from top officials. The special counsel's wide-ranging investigation is looking at Trump's post-election actions in 2020 and the Capitol attack.
A bipartisan group of state senators is working to increase legal protections for people who help overdose victims. A bill now in the Senate would expand the state's Good Samaritan law. Advocates say they want people to feel safe calling 911 when someone is ODing without fear of facing arrest. Harm reduction and recovery advocates will join state lawmakers for a news conference today calling for action on the bill.
A longtime Smithfield police detective and current school board member accused of extortion is due back in court in June. 39-year-old Ronald Johnson faces several felony charges. The state says Johnson threatened to reveal defamatory information about a congressional candidate unless the candidate helped Johnson keep an affair quiet. Johnson is also accused of trying to have two high school students with special needs transferred to another school as an act of personal retaliation. Johnson was given a $50,000 unsecured bond. He was released from jail after a court appearance on Tuesday. And the Carolina Hurricanes are inching closer to clinching the Metro Division title. Marty Natchez scored in overtime last night to give them a 3-2 win over the Ottawa Senators at PNC Arena. It's Carolina's 50th win of the year. They have a 3-point lead over the New Jersey Devils for the division with 5 games left to play. The Canes will be on the road tomorrow night playing the Nashville Predators.
We're getting a closer look at some of the damage left behind from a tornado that touched down in Illinois. These pictures show the damage to homes and businesses in a small village about 150 miles west of Chicago, right near the Iowa border. National Weather Service says an EF2 tornado touched down there yesterday morning. There are no reports of any injuries. We have a live look at Clinton right now. We have some foggy conditions here. 6:18 in the morning. Good morning to you, Clinton. Peter Sherwood is in the WRO Severe Weather Center, a byproduct of some of that heat right now, but also dense fog advisory that's out there.
This goes until 10 o'clock this morning, and it's 4 counties along the I-95 corridor. Visibility down to a quarter of a mile. Take it easy out there. I want to show you another spot where we're seeing some fog and lower level clouds this morning. This is out in Goldsboro, and you can see there the camera does look a little hazy due to visibility down to a quarter of a mile in Goldsboro. It's down to a quarter of a mile as well in Fayetteville and in Southern Pines, 2 miles. Things look good if you are traveling across the triangle for this morning. I don't anticipate much of that fog to stream into Raleigh and Durham, even Roxboro, as we head throughout the morning. It's very warm out the door, 65 degrees, the current temperature here in Raleigh and Durham. We are going to see temperatures gradually warm into the 80s around lunchtime. If you want to go for a walk today, grab that water bottle. 89 will be the afternoon high, and we're talking about near record temperatures for the triangle, and Fayetteville could shatter the record high. We have a persistent flow moving in out of the south ahead of this cold front that's moving out of the Midwest. This cold front is bringing tornado-warned storms across portions of Missouri right now and Arkansas. This system is really packing a punch across areas that already saw severe thunderstorms and tornadoes last week, and they're getting another round right now. We expect this front to continue to move towards the south and east. Take a look at all the areas under a level 3 risk for severe storms today. That is across the Ohio River Valley, and a level 1 severe risk will move into our region as we head into Thursday, mainly for our north and western counties. Damaging wind speeds cannot be ruled out. This front is going to bring the rain starting off tomorrow, especially by the afternoon. We're likely to see those showers and thunderstorms develop around 2 and 3 o'clock Thursday to the north and west, and then slide towards the south and east into the overnight hours. This boundary will stay put to the south and east of us and provide rounds of rain leading into Friday afternoon, especially for our south and eastern counties. That will also spark a 60% chance of rain on Saturday and a slight chance of rain on Easter Sunday. So we're getting into an unsettled pattern, and with that unsettled pattern, temperatures are going to cool, likely to be at 84 degrees tomorrow, 59 on Friday, 53 Saturday, Sunday, back into the mid-60s before the 70s move in again on Tuesday. Brian?
Peter, it is now 6:21. As we take a look at traffic around the triangle, our major routes are looking okay. We do have a little bit of a slowdown starting to build now on 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass. A couple of crashes I'm watching right now in Raleigh. One at I-40 westbound at Gorman Street. Looks like this may be at the bottom of the ramp from 40 westbound onto Gorman Street. But you see the sensors in that area are looking pretty good in all directions through that interchange. And it looks like we have a minor crash on Garner Road near the I-40 bridge there on the south side of Raleigh. Elsewhere around Wake County, Durham, Chapel Hill, everything moving along pretty well on our major routes. We are watching the fog this morning, and that yellow and orange you see there is where we're most likely seeing the thickest fog. And as Peter mentioned, it's mostly along and east of that I-95 corridor. Going to zoom in, take a quick look at one of those cameras in Johnston County in the Four Oaks area, 95 around 701, and you can see some reduced visibility there, so you do need to take it easy in those areas.
All right, thank you, Brian. There's a push to expand death benefits for police officers and other public safety employees. The proposed changes to policy after the death of a Raleigh police officer in a mass shooting was not covered.
A big win for Democrats pushing for abortion rights. Why the results of one state election could have a ripple effect nationally.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
The White House is clearing up some confusion about how it will celebrate college basketball champions.
Brian Schrader here now with What's Trending on our Wednesday, Brian.
Indeed. First Lady Jill Biden said earlier this week that she wanted not only the NCAA women's champion LSU to come to the White House, but also runner-up Iowa to come and celebrate. Well, LSU star Angel Reese called that a joke, and Biden's press secretary clarified, saying that while she celebrates Iowa, she looks forward to seeing LSU at the White House. You got all that?
What a flap this was, Brian, because, you know, First Lady was at the championship game, thought both teams played admirably, wanted to kind of do the right thing, but what a can of worms that opened. So the backpedaling there, not everyone is going to get a trophy in this case. Okay.
That's how it goes.
Just LSU.
Yeah. Or an invitation to the White House, apparently.
Yeah.
Right.
A movie that video game lovers have been waiting for a long time is now hitting the theaters. The Super Mario Brothers movie opens today, and it follows a familiar plot about Mario and his friends trying to save Mushroom Kingdom from the evil Bowser.
I'm so excited for this. They're calling this movie like the new gold standard for what video game movies are going to be. It's getting crowned already the best movie, the best animated movie from a video game. So I'm excited to see. But I do have to say, it's Mario. I'm from Long Island. I can't say Mario. It's too formal. It's Mario. Super Mario Bros.
I'm from Fuquay, and it's Mario.
Whatever it is, we know what you're talking about, and I can't wait for the live action.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Well, Gucci's latest fashion accessory is a line of teddy bear-shaped bags. The bags are crystal encrusted, of course, and they're available in two styles. The teddy bear bag, it's about $43,000 if you have that lying around. It's available on the Gucci website.
A plan being laid out today to test daycares and schools for toxic substances. Coming up, we'll tell you about what parents need to know.
Fog advisory in effect this morning. We're talking about near record warmth this afternoon. Coming up, I'm going to explain why cooler temperatures will move in after 2 days of highs in the 80s.